Hello, everybody, and welcome. I'm Mo Ray. This is The Other Side, and wow, what a, well, since I've seen you last on Thursday, a whole lot's taken place. The end of the Democratic Convention, the beginning of the Republican Convention, and a whole lot of crazy stuff in between. The arrest of Steve Bannon, the shooting of a young man in Kenosha, Wisconsin, and of course, the people reacted to it, and I just wish just once, we could, something like that could happen, and people wouldn't get upset. And there is Tim. He says hi, hello, Tim. We're a little behind schedule. And there is Debbie. And in case you don't know, we'll be starting around 5:05, or put another way, as soon as I can kick Fred off this stool, okay? Because he likes to talk. So we're really bumping up against each other, but don't worry. I'm going to get to you as soon as I can, and I hope if you had a chance to watch his show, whole different format, but he's always entertaining. But let's get right to it. It was only the first night last night, but I'm boycotting this thing. I actually want to see the ratings be lower, and they may not be, than the Democratic Convention. I know that's childish and petty, but so is the president. So I decided, why not? And there is actually a hashtag that says RNC blackout, and I'm using that. And anything I saw of the convention, except for me, 3 minutes last night, I did watch Donald Trump Jr. because one of my Facebook friends was telling me how bloodshot his eyes were. He did look like he'd been crying, but hopefully we can give him a reason to cry on November 3rd. Speaking of which, I did want to bring up this. You need to get out and vote. And we know this, and if you're watching a show, you're probably politically active anyway. But try to get your friends who aren't politically active to be active this time, particularly the like-minded friends, because this is going to be a very slim margin, whoever wins this thing. I saw a CBS poll that had Trump ahead by 2 points. That's the first poll I've seen him ahead. That's in Ohio, by the way. That's the first poll I've seen him ahead in quite some time. Two other polls, Biden was still leading. Nationally, Biden is still leading in any poll you look at, even though Trump keeps trying to pretend that that's not the case, but that is the case. The thing is, in some of those states, the lead is within the margin of error. It just means that a few people could show up who didn't say they were going to show up, and it could change everything. That also means a few people who could say they're not voting for Trump could vote for Trump after all. So it's that kind of thing we're up against. There is truly, though, an enthusiasm gap. Trump supporters are rabid, and I say that because these are the people who, some of them decorate their houses almost like it's Christmas or Halloween with Trump memorabilia. So we've got to look out for that. I don't see that level of excitement for the vice president, just anecdotally, or I don't see it reflected in any polls. But his numbers are higher than Hillary's were at this time. I think a lot of people, and by the way, he got in some polls up to a 4-point bump from the convention, so that's good. And that's about normal, and we'll see what, if any, bump Trump gets from this convention. Very different style, very different composition, very few black people. I just thought I'd mention that because, you know, they did have Tim Scott, and they had a so-called Democrat who said he's supporting the president. And in fact, we'll take a look at that. Let's quickly, before we go to that, let me go back to the voting real quick. I wanted to tell you that if you're not registered to vote, you need to be registered. The election is November 3rd. You need to be registered 30 days prior to the election. So that roughly, I'm thinking that must mean it's October 3rd. But be absolutely sure if you go to the, if you go to OhioSOS.gov, that's OhioSOS.gov. It will tell you all you need to know about registration. But get it in by October 3rd. If I were you, I'd make it by October 2nd, just to be on the safe side. And if you have trouble remembering that, just remember what I'm seeing a lot on Facebook these days. We're going to flush the turd on November 3rd. So that will tell you when Election Day is. You need to be registered 30 days prior. So there you go, FYI. Get out there and get registered, and in November, go vote. Now let's take a look at the highlights, such as they were, from last night's Republican National Convention.
From Washington, D.C., welcome to the 2020 Republican National Convention.
Joe Biden said if a black man didn't vote for him, he wasn't truly black. Joe Biden said black people are a monolithic community. It was Joe Biden who said poor kids can be just as smart as white kids.
Joe Biden is basically the Loch Ness Monster of the swamp. For the past half century, he's been lurking around in there. He sticks his head up every now and then to run for president. Then he disappears and doesn't do much in between.
Now, you know, when I made the public announcement of my support for President Trump, all hell broke loose. I was threatened, called an embarrassment, and asked to resign by my own party. Unfortunately, that's consistent with the Democratic Party and how they view independent thinking black men and women.
It wasn't like this in South Carolina 5 years ago. After that horrific tragedy, we didn't turn against each other. We came together, black and white, Democrat and Republican. Together, we made the hard choices needed to heal and removed a divisive symbol peacefully and respectfully. What happened then should give us hope now. America isn't perfect, but the principles we hold dear are perfect.
We must fight to save America now, or we may lose her forever. Joe Biden might not even notice. Settle for Biden. That's the hashtag promoted by AOC and the socialists. The woketopians will settle for Biden because they will make him an extra in a movie written, produced, and directed by others. It's a horror film, really.
I look across the aisle, and I do not see a party that wants you to pursue your dreams. I see a Democrat party that wants to dictate what those dreams are. I don't see a party that wants you to be free. I see a party that wants to chain you to conformity and will destroy anyone they deem a heretic.
President Trump is the leader who will rebuild the promise of America and ensure that every citizen can realize their American dream. Ladies and gentlemen, leaders and fighters for freedom and liberty and the American dream, the best is yet to come.
She's screaming. Why is she screaming? Oh my gosh. Anyway, that's Donald Trump's girl, Donald Trump Jr.'s girlfriend, former Fox commentator. She used to be on The Five. That's Kimberly Guilfoyle. And anyway, so those were the highlights. And remember, the president promised an uplifting convention. Let's take a look at the comments real quick before we move on. And I've got, let's see, well, Tim is up as usual. And there's Debbie. She says, okay. Because, yeah, we're up now. And then Tim says, bizarre comments about Biden last night at the RNC. Elect Biden and he will take away your guns, take away God, religion, destroy the suburbs, economy, create violence like you've never seen before in America, and that Biden has become an extreme left. See more? Well, I got it. Huh? Crazy. You are correct, Tim. And I'll even play a clip to support that in just a second. And he says, screaming people are usually lying. He also says, how could they say those things? How could they say the things they said with a straight face is beyond me. Well, their faces may be straight, but they certainly aren't. I think Steve Bannon can vouch for that. But let's see. This was the, if those were the highlights, these are the lowlights.
In Joe Biden's America, God forbid what the next 4 years would look like.
These radicals are not content with marching in the streets. They want to take over. They want power.
They want to destroy this country.
Empty the prisons. Lock you in your home.
Steal your liberty, your freedom.
They want to abolish the suburbs altogether.
Defund, dismantle, and destroy America's law enforcement.
Abandoned buildings, liquor stores in every corner, drug addicts, guns on the street.
Crime, violence, and mob rule.
Discarded heroin needles in parks, riots in streets.
Marijuana, opioids.
Cops killed. Children shot.
Marxist liberal activist.
Socialism.
Marxist revolutionary.
Socialist utopia.
War zones.
Bitter. deceitful, vengeful activists.
Pain and misery.
Human sex drug traffickers.
Chinese state-funded propaganda.
Abortion up until the point of birth. Iran and ISIS.
And radical Islamic terrorism.
Subverting our republic.
Open borders, closed schools, dangerous amnesty.
Dying on wait lists.
We may not have realized it at the time, but Trump is the bodyguard of Western civilization.
Well, there's so many lies in that montage that I don't even know where to begin. But let's begin with one. For one thing, all this stuff, some of the violence they're talking about, is taking place under a president named Donald Trump. It's not taking place under Joe Biden. Okay? Joe Biden's not there yet. So once again, the president and his party are not taking responsibility with what's happening on his watch. Furthermore, when they talk about abortion up until the point of birth. The so-called late-term abortions are 1% of all abortions performed. And of course, that's one too many. But the majority of abortions are, the cutoff is 20 weeks. And that's the fact of the matter. And what else? Open borders? No, not open borders. Just more responsible and more humane immigration policy instead of what we have now. Instead of the situation that came to light, that I always knew he was behind it, that Stephen Miller was instrumental in coming up with this program to separate kids from their parents. There were some kids put in cages under Obama, very few in 2014, the so-called unaccompanied minors. Those kids were only left there for a certain amount of time, then they were turned over to relatives, either relatives from south of the border or relatives here in this country. That has not been the case with the Trump administration. By the way, I'll be fair about it. I just found out that Stephen Miller didn't come up with the idea of child separation. Actually, an ICE agent came up with it, and Stephen Miller liked it. And in case you get a chance, if you listen to NPR, listen to, that would have been yesterday, I believe, an interview with a lady who has a book about Stephen Miller, and it just shows you how totally deprived he is. Here's a guy who he's Jewish himself, yet he seems to embrace Nazi thinking. He seems to embrace white supremacy. When his grandmother came to this country, she couldn't speak English. She tried to pass on to him how hard that was for her to adjust to this country and how you should never forget the indignity she suffered. Instead, Stephen has gone on to impose indignities upon a new generation of people. A new generation of immigrants. Let's remember, this administration is hostile not only to illegal immigration, but they're making it even harder for people to immigrate here legally. And that was before COVID-19. And just something to think about. These are the people we're dealing with. If you listen to them talk, they make Democrats sound like they're terrible. I think some Republicans are indeed terrible, but I don't think the whole party is. And and make sure when you talk to your friends, particularly your Republican friends, you call it the Democratic Party. It's still the Democratic Party. Don't let them put their talking point on it, the Democrat Party. You know what they're afraid of? Because if you say it's Democratic, that means it's fair. That means it cares about everybody. They don't want that. They want you to think that it's something else. And what are we talking about? No schools? Well, this is the argument we're having, where we have schools, the president's push, and Nancy DeVos, I keep calling her Nancy, it's Betsy DeVos's push to open schools physically with everybody in the classroom despite the pandemic. This should be handled district by district according to the will of the people of those districts. The president of the United States has no power to nationally force you to go back to school physically if you don't think it's safe. So as far as schools being closed, they may be closed, but there's still a virtual option. The creative districts are having situations where they have some kids come on Monday and Thursday, some kids come on Wednesday, that should be Monday and Wednesday, and other kids come on Tuesday and Thursday. That way, all the kids get a little bit of the in-school experience, and they're socially distanced because the classrooms are not as full because of the breakdown and the staggering. That makes sense to me. Or if it's, there's a clip later that points this out, how there have been countless schools that have reopened and infection immediately ensued. So I'm just saying, and of course then Trump takes a poke at Biden for not physically going to Milwaukee for the Democratic convention. It wasn't necessary. This is a pandemic and you need to act like it. Instead, even last night at some of the events at the convention, there were hundreds of people in some of those locations as opposed to the small number that is recommended by the CDC. And there's another example I'll give later of the president's own chief of staff totally ignoring social distancing and not wearing a mask in a crowd. This thing is serious and it will never end if our leaders don't lead by example. And this president is certainly not, and many of his underlings are not doing it either, okay? But that makes me miserable. And in fact, the miserable index is up. That's according to Midas Touch and Act Blue. Take a look at this.
Feeling miserable? You're not alone. The misery index is a measurement of the nation's economy. During Jimmy Carter's presidency, the misery index in America averaged 16.26. He was voted out of office after one term. By the end of Barack Obama's presidency, the nation's misery index was just 6.7. Today, under the guidance of the guy who brought you Trump Steaks, Trump University, and Trump Taj Mahal, the nation's misery index stands at 24.2. So what sounds better? 4 more years of misery? Or a public servant who's been fighting for you all along?
Yep. Well, I'll just say that I think it's time for a change. But as I also said, this is going to be a very close race. I saw Trump has been behind in PA. He was ahead in one poll in PA. He's neck and neck in others. But I still think that Democrats have the edge. But once again, it all comes down to turnout. You've got to vote. You can vote early. That's one of the great things about this state. You can vote early in PA. You can vote early most anywhere you're watching me. I don't know if all states have early voting, but those that do, you should take advantage of it. Because also, if you go early, there's probably a greater chance that you'd run into lesser people. Because I think a lot of people are still traditional and they'll wait till election day. But if you could start to vote as early as October, I'd get out there and vote as soon as possible. I don't think anybody's going to change their mind, at least in the presidential race between now and November. I think you pretty much know who you want to vote for. There are some undecideds out there, but they are in the majority. One reason I'm voting against the current president is because the man just lies. In fact, on Sunday, he posted on Twitter a blatant lie. His lie, let me find it exactly. Hold on just a second, because I think I had it pulled up on my phone. Or I'll just tell you, here it is. So here's what he said. The Democrats took the word God out of the Pledge of Allegiance at the Democrat National Convention. At first, I thought they made a mistake, but it wasn't. It was done on purpose. Remember, evangelical Christians, and all, this is where they're coming from. It's done. Vote November 3rd. Well, the president tweeted that on August 22nd at 7:22 in the morning, before he went golfing, of course, because although he wants to tell you how religious he is, I think he worships the 18th hole. I've never seen the guy in a church except for a couple of times during his whole 4 years. But, of course, he's the sweetheart of the evangelicals. Go figure. But This is a montage of the opening ceremonies of the Democratic Convention for 4 nights. They said under God every night, another Donald Trump lie.
By the CDC, are the words about a pandemic at this point?
No, that's not
wrong.
At all.
I'm sorry, that was my mistake. No, where'd he go? No, that's not it. All right, well, you sure there was... All right, I hate when that happens. No, go back to Microsoft Office. What was that? No, the one before. Okay, that's nothing. Okay, well, I sure hate that. I'm going to make sure we find that before the end of this because that was just a lie. Let's move on for now. I hate to build up like that and then not have it. But let's see. So let's go back to... Where are we?
Oh, we're on the Vice clip up, but we can also go back through the email if you'd like.
Yeah, there should have been. I'm surprised that's not there. There wasn't an email. All right, I mean, we're wasting time here, so I don't want to do it that way. We'll do it. We'll figure it out during the break. But in the meantime, right, folks, let's go back to this. Let's see. Yeah, let's go back to the president and his cheery assessment of what's going on. I know you've seen it 100 times, but you'll notice one thing you won't hear a lot about this week is COVID-19 and the president's colossal failure. I think we're getting close to 160,000 deaths now. And by the way, there's something else I'll tell you. There was a poll the other day, and it was a CBS News poll, once again, where 57% of Republicans thought that the death toll to COVID-19 is acceptable. That was nowhere near what any other group thought. The Democrats, it was down to 30% thought it was acceptable. It was 10% of Democrats thought it was acceptable, and about 30% of independents. But, do you love Donald Trump so much you can watch people die and not even care? 170,000 Americans dead, and you don't care? It's acceptable? That was their exact word. But let's listen to the president try to assure us from the beginning that, and look at the date. The date's stamped in the upper left corner. And you've seen some of these. Some of these I haven't seen, where he's telling us everything's going to be okay.
Have you been briefed by the CDC?
I have.
Are the words about a pandemic at this point?
No, we're not at all, and we have it totally under control. We have it under control. It's going to be just fine.
We think we have it very well under control. We think it's going to have a very good ending for us, so that I can assure you.
I think we're now up to our eighth case in the United States. How concerned are you?
Well, we pretty much shut it down. Coming in from China. We're going to see what happens, but we did shut it down, yes.
Now, the virus that we're talking about having to do, a lot of people think that goes away in April with the heat, as the heat comes in. Typically, that will go away in April. We're in great shape, though.
We have the greatest doctors in the world. We have it very much under control.
Coronavirus, which is, very well under control in our country. We have very few people with it. The people are getting better. They're all getting better. I think that whole situation will start working out.
We think we're in very good shape in the United States. They're getting it under control more and more. They're getting it more and more under control. So I think that's a problem that's going to go away. I think it's going to be under control. And I think I can speak for our country. For our country is under control. The risk to the American people remains very low.
The CDC said yesterday that they believe it's inevitable that the virus will spread in the United States, and it's not a question of if, but when. Do you agree with that assessment?
Well, I don't think it's inevitable.
We're totally prepared. We have the best people in the world, very well under control, totally prepared. We've done really an extraordinary job. We're going down, not up. We're going very substantially down, not up. There's no reason to be panicked about. We have it so well under control. We're testing everybody that we need to test. And we're finding very little problem, very little problem. It's going to be. We're doing incredibly. Think of it.
We are.
15 people out of billions of people.
Yeah.
15 people.
Yeah.
They're getting better. Mm-hmm. And soon they're all going to be better. It's going to disappear. One day it's like a miracle. It will disappear.
You know, you're talking about 22 people right now in this whole very vast country. So I think we'll be in very good shape. We've done a great job. Everything is under control. Everything's really under control.
Things are going very well, as you see. We've done a good job by doing it and combating it so early.
It's going to all work out. Everybody has to be calm. It's all going to work out. That's going to be fine, and everybody, it's going to be fine.
You have to be calm. It'll go away. I think we're in great shape.
It will end. People have to remain calm. Anybody that needs a test gets a test. They're there. They have the tests, and the tests are beautiful.
We've also had some very good updates on the virus. That's working out very smoothly. The testing has gone very well. And when people need a test, they can get a test. It's gone really well. We're doing a great job with it, and it will go away. Just stay calm. It will go away. Be calm. It's really working out, and a lot of good things are going to happen.
I think it'll go pretty quickly. It'll go very quickly. I think it's going to work out very well for everybody. It's going to go away. It's going to go away. We're in great shape compared to other places. We are in really good shape. It goes away. It's going away.
They're really doing a great job, our professionals. The results are very Very, very good. Relax. We're doing great.
Well, that was to hear him tell it. And if you notice on that day, the death toll was 3,499. And we have gone up quite a bit since then. So, sorry, Mr. President, if that was a test, you failed miserably. And you're continuing to fail. And your solution is to ignore the numbers. And to put on a happy face. Well, guess what? It's not really going that way. So let's just be honest about it. That's all I'm saying. And instead of, you know, and I saw where one of the speakers last night even said, basically they want to go back. Let's imagine before January. That's the talking point. Let's just, in other words, yeah, things were going pretty good with the stock market and otherwise. But some things weren't so good. And I think that this crisis has pointed out some of the deficiencies in our nation's safety nets and our just in the way everybody lives their lives. That it only took this, well, of course, this is a major disruption in normal society, but it only took this to send this economy and a lot of people's lives into a tailspin. So for them to stand there and pretend everything is okay, for them to stand there and to continue to belch out fear so that you will vote for them again is ridiculous. There's one party that is taking it seriously. Joe Biden, Trump even insulted Biden for saying that if there was another occurrence, that he would shut down the government again. And of course, that's up to the governors. He'd have to get together with them. But I think, and he said he would go by the science. For this president, sometimes he goes by the science. Sometimes he listens to the MyPillow guy or Chuck Woolery. And that's true stuff. You know, his latest thing, he's got a new miracle drug, Anderson Cooper. I won't run that clip today, but I'll try to run it Thursday, where Anderson Cooper just basically tore the MyPillow guy a new one because he's claiming he's got a drug that cures coronavirus. And of course, we know there's not a cure yet because worldwide, the deaths continue. Hey, and we're number one. Brazil is number two. And I forgot who's number three, but they kind of came up to number three. Remember, Italy was very high at one time. These other countries, though, took it seriously. They took the masking seriously. Some of the countries were even brutal about the stay at home. In India and places like that, the cops are actually caning people they caught walking around. You don't want that in this country. I don't want to live in a totalitarian country. But what I'm saying is, for example, the other day, I went out a Saturday. I went to Target and Best Buy. That was Sunday, actually. And both stores, 100% compliance with mask. I was very impressed. In fact, I didn't even see anybody with their nose hanging over their mask. That's another one of my pet peeves. To me, that's kind of like putting a condom on your testicles. You know, it just, it's in the vicinity, but it doesn't really get the job done. So cover your whole nose and mouth. So anyway, now that I've painted that picture, let's take a look at something almost as grotesque, and that's Judge Jeanine from her program, and she denounces Joe Biden.
The American people see through it. Stop trying to ride both sides of every issue, and stop trying to scare people as if you were the only good and decent person in the race. Unlike you, Joe, Donald Trump made his own money, and he hasn't asked the government for it, and he doesn't cut deals while he's in the government for his son and his family. So stop with your sanctimonious, condescending, holier-than-thou nonsense, and above all, stop lying to me.
Well, a couple of things on that one as well. Donald Trump didn't start with his own money. I think a lot of us could do pretty well if we were given a few million dollars to start out with. The president likes to say he was given a small million-dollar loan, but he had, in fact, been given thousands of dollars prior to even becoming an adult because his dad was a tax dodger just like he is, and he was so he put a lot of money in a trust fund and these other things. So, you know, the thing that kills me is 60% of rich people in this country are rich because their parents were rich. Joe Biden wasn't born into money. He was born, his father was a working class guy. He tells the story many times about how his dad lost a job in Scranton. That's when they moved from Scranton to Delaware. So, and for sure, I'm sure Joe Biden is doing a lot better now than his dad would have ever imagined. But he's no billionaire. Donald Trump had money before he got in the White House, and he'll have money when he leaves. That's why I roll my eyes when people say, oh, he's not taking his salary. He doesn't need that $450,000 a year. That's a pimple on his buttocks. He's still making money. His hotels are making money. When he stays at a hotel, when he goes on down to Mar-a-Lago, for example, he charges the Secret Service exorbitant rates for their rooms. He charges them for the golf carts they need to follow him around. He's making money. For, you know, to make it sound like, oh, he's making this great sacrifice for us. For sure, he could be making more money as a businessman, and Lord knows I wish he had stayed a businessman. But I just think some of the claims made by these people are ridiculous. There's an ad by another guy. I'm trying to run stuff besides just the Lincoln Project. By the way, real quick on that, Lincoln Project lost one of its founding members, just temporarily, hopefully, but I'm sure you've heard the news, Kellyanne Conway, at the end of the month, is leaving the Trump administration. And George Conway, her husband, one of the co-founders of the Lincoln Project, is leaving the Lincoln Project as well. They're going to focus on the family, which is a good thing. Because one of their teenage daughters, who is very much anti-Trump, has been bashing her mother, but she's not a big fan of her dad either. So, and she's been putting stuff on TikTok. I was going to run a clip of her, but she's just a kid. I'm not going to show that. I'll let the Conway settle that. But that's just speaking of the Lincoln Project. I'll have another clip by them later. But there's another guy. He's an individual, and I need to do some homework on him. But, man, his ads are pretty harsh, too. His name is Don Winslow, and this is called Dear Donald Trump.
Donald Trump, just because your polls are down and you're losing to Joe Biden doesn't mean you get to kill our children or threaten our teachers and schools.
There's going to be a funding problem because we're not going to fund when they don't open their schools. We're not going to fund them.
Or lie about the dangers of the coronavirus.
I think that at some point that's going to sort of just disappear, I hope.
Or co-opt and falsify critical virus data. Or blame China for your failings as a leader.
The plague came in from China. They could have stopped it. They should have stopped it.
I can name Kung Flu.
Or get your ministers of propaganda to lie to the American public.
It is being contained. And do you not think it's being contained?
Or let your fake doctors break their oath to do no harm.
He's been so attentive to the scientific literature and the details and the data.
Or tell us the economy is strong when tens of millions of Americans can't pay their rent or mortgage. Or send your secret armies into American cities. Or beat peaceful protesters, mothers, and veterans. Or suppress the vote using Mitch McConnell and the Republican-controlled Senate. Or use Bill Barr to corrupt the Justice Department and free your convicted felon accomplices. The U.S. military are not your soldiers. The Justice Department are not your lawyers. The Center for Disease Control are not your doctors. You have corrupted everything you have touched since becoming president. You have been documented lying over 20,000 times. On November 3rd, America admits its greatest mistake. On November 3rd, America evicts the most disgusting family ever to live in the White House. On November 3rd, America fires Donald Trump.
And welcome back. I would tell you our number here is 330-595-1600. I'd like to hear from you whether you agree or disagree with what you've heard here the last few minutes. I'm Mo Ray, and this is The Other Side, where I look at politics, but I definitely look at it from a side you don't normally get in talk radio, and certainly not in the number one cable news
network.
There we go. And you know, something I brought up earlier, I think we found the clip, and I'll just give him time to set it up. But Donald Trump, the man of 20,000 lies, well, here's 20,001. On Sunday, as I said, he tweeted that the Democrats didn't use the phrase under God in the Pledge of Allegiance any night of their convention. Well, take a look for yourself, ladies and gentlemen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I pledge allegiance to the flag
of the United States of America
and to the republic for which it stands,
one nation,
under God,
indivisible,
with liberty and justice for all.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America,
and to the republic for which it stands,
one nation,
under God,
indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to a republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
So that's just in case you care about the truth. The Democrats did use the phrase every single night of their convention. And this is what bothers me. Not only does he lies about things that are easily disproven. We live in an age of video and audio recordings. Why would you say something that's not true? It's just unbelievable. And then Julie says, the other talk radio pressed this lie today. I tried to correct crickets. No, there's no correcting. They don't care about the truth. They just care about winning. And, you know, and as I said, I am sick and tired of people who claim to be godly people. Jesus didn't lie, okay? Now, you might be getting your, he might be going after abortion for you and getting rid of those pesky gays, but you are selling your soul for this man, and you disgust me more than anybody in America. I'm telling you straight. You know, you're welcome to your opinions, but don't try to misrepresent things. You know good, and oh, by the way, another one of these good fake, he's not a preacher. I didn't know that. But Jerry Falwell Jr., did you hear about his story? I don't have anything, but I can run it down real quick. Apparently, he enjoyed watching his wife be serviced by the pool boy. I don't think that's in the Bible either. But here's the guy who has been asked to leave by Liberty University because they're tired of his mingling in politics, and they're tired of him not living up to what that university is supposed to be about. I'm sick of the hypocrisy. I'm sick of these people trying to demonize the other side when they're no better. They may, in fact, be worse, because there's nothing worse to me than a fake preacher. Somebody who's got people trying to tell people how to live their lives, and they're not even living their lives correctly. Disgusting. Now, the university says he's done, but he says he's not finished with Liberty University. That is Jerry Falwell Jr. We shall see. Personally, if you'll pardon the expression, I don't think he has a prayer to keep that job. But let's move on. Up next, and I'm going to run this one. I've never seen such an anti-union person. This was a school teacher, and her name is Rebecca Frederick. And it may be Fredrich. It could be either way, Frederick or Fredrich. But she is from California. She gives a lot of vague references to how she was treated by teachers' unions. She doesn't exactly indicate what she's talking about. But this is another thing that bothers me. The Republicans are savagely anti-union. And any union person who affiliates himself with this party, I don't understand. You're cutting your own throat. But listen to the teacher.
A veteran California public school educator to give voice to America's great teachers, because our voices have been silenced for decades by unions who claim to represent us. They do not. When other dedicated teachers and I served within the unions, we spoke up in defense of children, parents, scientific fact, and American values. For our trouble, we were brutalized, booed off the platform, barred from committees, shouted down, and even spit upon by union leaders. This is how unions treat devoted teachers. But what's even worse is how their agenda of control deceives Americans and our children. They've intentionally rewritten American history to perpetuate division, pervert the memories of our American founders, and disparage our Judeo-Christian virtues. Their lenient discipline policies morphed our schools into war zones, and they back defunding police and abolishing ICE. Unions collect billions annually from unsuspecting teachers and push this radical agenda into our classrooms against our will. Why? The only way to keep a free republic is with a well-educated, moral citizenry that can self-govern. Unions are subverting our republic, so they undermine educational excellence, morality, law, and order. That's why they spend hundreds of millions annually to defeat charter schools and school choice, trapping so many precious low-income children in dangerous, corrupt, and low-performing schools. To fight back on behalf of children and America, brave teachers brought a lawsuit against unions. And do you know who intervened against us? The Obama-Biden administration and California Attorney General Kamala Harris. They argued against us at the U.S. Supreme Court. Their comrades labeled us spawns of Satan and slandered us in mainstream media. No matter their abuse, we'll keep fighting for the country and children we love, just like President Trump. He's breaking the union's grip on our schools. That's why unions have tried to destroy him since the day he was elected.
Well, there you have it. Those evil unions. And by the way, her name is Rebecca Fredericks. There is an S on it. I didn't have an S on my notes, so I will correct that. But she won't correct many of the misstatements she made there. A couple of things. One, you notice she, after it's been talked about time, and she called the vice presidential candidate on the Democratic side, Kamala Harris. It is pronounced like comma, Kamala. Kamala Harris is her name. But I guess that's the way we're going to play this. They're going to keep mispronouncing her name until November 3rd. But hopefully they'll have 4 years to get it right after she's elected. Let's see. Up next was, there's a little bit of a response to the remarks of that teacher. It starts out with Press Secretary Kayleigh McEnany and a lady named, what is her name? Just a minute. Heather Gardner. Heather Gardner gives a response to that and more.
Essential workers. Our meat packers didn't stop working during this pandemic, nor should our teachers.
Okay, White House Barbie. Yes, teachers are essential. And yes, many professions continue to go to work during the pandemic, but only because you can't pack meat from your living room. But teachers can teach from the safety of their homes. No, it isn't the most effective way for kids to learn, but it's better than this.
1,200 students and staff quarantined.
147 people tested positive.
300 teachers and staff members are already sick.
The continued push from the White House to open schools, a message President desperate to get back to normal so he can win the election, has blasted endlessly.
We want to get our schools open.
Comes as COVID is now the number three leading cause of death in the U.S. While cases in children have skyrocketed. Facts that Kayleigh conveniently left out.
Wow. The number three cause of death in the country, and yet 57% of Republicans find those numbers acceptable. I've learned a lot about the Republican Party in the last few days. Apparently, you know, you've heard the phrase people over profits. Pardon me, that is profits over people. Apparently, they're more interested in trying to get down to Margaritaville to get their next drink than they are in trying to eradicate this disease. I just think as long as we have people like that in this country, we're never going to get this thing beat. And the president keeps promising miracle cures that may or may not be over the horizon. Chances are, though, a safe vaccine wouldn't even be safe to test until at least the first of the year, according to Dr. Fauci and others. As I've stated before, the coronavirus is not on Donald Trump's timeline as much as he would like for it to be. But here's, speaking of the coronavirus, this is the president's, his fourth chief of staff, and that's a record, by the way, his fourth chief of staff, Mark Meadows, and apparently he lives in a world where social distancing and coronavirus is not a real thing.
Yeah, very good. Look at that. We got the whole
Well, we'll see how those folks are doing in a couple of weeks. Of course, I'm sure Chief of Staff Meadows is tested regularly, but I doubt if the majority of the people in that crowd, if you'll look at that crowd, there were very few masks that being worn there. And of course, there was a lot of pressing of the flesh, and people kissing and all that good stuff. Oh, wow. I'm watching the slight delay. There was one black guy in that crowd. So, hey, okay, you're moving on up, Republicans. Anyway, let's go quickly. Speaking of black folks, this is the former president of the United States and the first lady. Not really, but it's a parody done by a group called Founders Sing. And it's to the tune of Earth, Wind, and Fire's theirs is September. But we're worried about November, aren't we, folks?
Do you remember?
Less time now, but I want to thank you for joining us. We'll be back Thursday, and I want to thank my man in the studio making me sound so good, Mario. Thank you.
You're my best.
And I want to thank all of you who listen, and I want you to, and by the way, to Tim's question, if he wonders if Frank Sinatra's estate approves of his playing My Way at political rallies. Well, actually, the thing is, Sinatra at the end was a Republican, in case you forgot. He was a Reagan supporter and all that. I know his daughter Nancy is certainly a Democrat, but apparently that's okay. But anyway, be safe out there, folks, and I'll see you. I know there's a lot to digest. I will continue my boycott of the Republican National Convention. You can watch it for me. But anyway, let's keep the ratings low for them. Let's try to build up the ratings for what we're doing here. I'm Mo Ray saying, as I always do, keep your eyes on the prize.